Live from the Upstage Cabaret at Triad Stage in downtown Greensboro, this is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Thank you. When the Playboy of the Western World premiered in Dublin's Abbey Theatre in 1907, it sparked riots that lasted almost a week. The Irish nationalist movement felt playwright J.M. Singh's portrayal of his country and its people was insulting and even blasphemous. But beneath the political debates was a play acknowledged by many to be a comic masterpiece. And now Greensboro's Triad Stage is transforming it into something new. Artistic director Preston Lane has written an original adaptation of Singh's play called Tennessee Playboy, described as a redneck romance set in 1975. It premieres here at Triad Stage next Friday, June 14th. Preston Lane joins us now, along with actors Deirdre Friel, James Coutts, and Denise Lute. Welcome to all of you. So, Preston, what attracted you in the first place to Playboy of the Western World?
I've loved this play my entire life. It's such a great comedy. But it's, like all great comedies, it has something really serious to say in its heart. I think it's a sort of a masterful portrayal of a group of people. And I don't really know Ireland that well, but I do know the rural area of Western North Carolina and East Tennessee very well. I grew up there. My family's from there. And I always felt the play would work there. And I think maybe communicate in a different way to our audience.
Now, part of what caused the riots, I guess, was this was the rise of the Irish nationalist movement, and Singh portrayed his folk as folk, and there were a lot of what could have been called stereotypes worked in, which he was trying to dispel, particularly among the British, and that's, in a sense, part of the genius as well.
Eh? That's right. That's right. You know, stereotypes usually come from some place in reality. So I don't think we're going to have riots here at Triad Stage, although I have made plans to fly to England before my parents come to see
it. Smart move. All right, give us a brief synopsis of the plot here.
Well, it takes place in a little truck stop on the side of a highway in East Tennessee in a town called Bull's Bend. The truck stop is called the Hungry Chief Gas and Grub, and it hasn't been doing a lot of business since they opened the interstate. So they only keep it open in case any of their neighbors get lonely late at night and want somewhere to stop by. The waitress, the owner's daughter, who is a short order cook and a waitress, is working all night long. She's pestered by her so-called fiance and her so-called father, who's a little bit drunk. And into this wanders an amazing young man with a great story to tell. And he tells that out of a fit of rage, because he was being treated unjustly, he picked up a skillet and hit his father on his head, and his father died, and he's been running ever since. He's on the run from the law. He becomes a criminal that the entire community falls madly in love with. They turn him into a celebrity, which doesn't seem so strange in this culture of CNN turning murderers into celebrities. And the community goes wild for him, and we see what happens.
This is the 10th anniversary of the arrest of I was going to say Timothy McVeigh, but no, the mountain guy.
Yes, Eric Rudolph.
Eric Rudolph, right, who was embraced by some of the folk up on the mountain.
That's right. We've talked quite a lot about Eric Rudolph in doing this comedy. That's not a very funny subject, Eric Rudolph, but...
This is what you're saying. Rooted in, there are things that actually root this stuff, even though it feels like a kind of a romp.
That's right.
And to get a feel for how comic it is and how ingenious the use of language is, we have three actors here who will give us a little preview of Tennessee Playboy, will you?
Look at you.
Hi.
That's a handsome set of aprons you're wearing. Doesn't leave much to the imagination. So this here's your killer.
What?
Don't act all innocent with me. You're the talk of Bull's Bend. At least amongst two, three of us who didn't go to sleep as soon as the Waltons went off the air. Anyway, I'm a woman of the world. I'm not the kind of lady shocked by a fellow who takes matters into his own hands. But what perplexes me is how on earth could such a sweet little puppy with such precious little paws as these rise up and slaughter his own flesh and blood paw? It must have been a great bitter torment that riled the likes of you.
It was.
I bet. And don't it break my heart, as a motherly type myself, to see such a little angel like you who ought to be tucked up in a great big old waterbed, safe and sound, instead of running wild to escape the cruel clutch of law.
He ain't running wild, and he ain't no angel. He's a cold-blooded killer the likes this county ain't never seen, and we'd both thank you to go on home. He's exhausted from the road, and he don't need to be troubled.
Oh, I'm gonna go home. And I'm going to take him with me.
No, you ain't.
Oh, yes, I will. You'll enjoy my company, boy. We'll have a lot to talk about. We have some things in common.
You killed your pa?
No. My daddy died of indigestion.
I wouldn't recommend eating anything come out of her kitchen.
Folks around here do gossip. I reckon a woman who will bury three husbands, every one of them done dead some mysterious way, might be better company for a man the likes of you than a short order cook desperate enough to throw herself on the first man willing to endure her company.
Now, my daddy told me to be kind to old people, but if you don't watch your mouth, you and me's gonna have us a come to Jesus meeting.
The only meeting we're fixing to have is a meeting between your puckered lips and my fine fanny. Now, come on, sweetheart. I'm going to take you home. Well,
thank you kindly, but I work here. And I think I better should stay.
There we go. A little preview of Tennessee Playboy that premieres here at Triad Stage June 14th. Deirdre Friel played Perlene Dunbar. James Kautz was Chuck McGaddy. And Denise Lutz was Widow Quince. So that's the other part of the play. Certainly Playboy of the Western World. It was a bit bawdy.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. And I've tried to capture that.
Well, but also, I mean, here's where it gets interesting, I think, that in all of our imaginations and in all of our hearts, there are these criminals rattling about. And so when we try to repress that in the kind of small town ethic of everybody an upstanding citizen, turns out there's a whole other set of stories that can be exposed.
Now, I think that anybody who writes or who makes theater or writes songs, any artist at all knows that every town has secrets that are hidden, and that's where great art comes from. It's the things that we don't want to talk about, the things we keep locked up in our attic.
And storytelling, of course, is the heart of that, the ability to kind of transgress. So, I mean, the story is, sort of at once the law and its transgression, right? I mean, it's a form, but then I can get under it. That was part of Singh's genius in his original play.
Yes, indeed. I mean, he was a great artist of the Irish people. And I think Yeats said something along the lines of, a genius can never really belong to his people. He's going to stand out and be different. And I think that was very true about him.
And what he had to work with was that glorious language of English wrought by the Irish tongue that was ingenious in the way it created sentences and phrases, and I think that's what we have up in mountain culture. So it's at once the parody, but also an ingenious form that makes us want to listen over and over and more and more.
That's very true. You know, when I was growing up in the mountains and I wanted to be an actor, I was so embarrassed at being from the Appalachian Mountains. I was so sort of mortified by my dialect when I went off to study acting, and I spent a lot of time learning to talk like this. And it still requires a lot of effort for me to do this. So if you see me at 2 a.m. in the morning, I won't tell you where I am. But it doesn't involve tofu. And I will be more likely to be talking like this. And I think it was really, I heard my grandfather say, I need some hope. And it was about he needed help. And I realized that word, hope, went back to Shakespeare. And so that the language that I'd been embarrassed by was actually Shakespeare's English. And that's when I really began to re-examine my roots and to be very, very proud of where I came from.
So when you take on a play like this that got in trouble for the perception of stereotype, but has been, I think time has told a different story about the quality of the play, how conscious of you are you of that line of not wanting to insult or offend and yet needing to use these types to get the story across?
I think that it's a very fine line. You know, I've been thinking a lot about lines. You know, that line that separates Western North Carolina from East Tennessee, how that little straight, small, invisible line, there's a different culture just on the other side of it. And I've been thinking about the line that separates stereotype from truth. And that is a fascinating place. I've always been fascinated by the borderlands, and that is a fascinating place to make your work.
On the State of Things today, Preston Lane is the artistic director of Triad Stage. He is on stage here today with Deirdre Friel, James Kautz, and Denise Lute. They will appear in Preston's new play, Tennessee Playboy. It's an original. It appears and will premiere next Friday, June 14th, here at Triad Stage. You can find out more at our website, WUNC.org. Thank you so much for being here. Coming up next, Joe Mader tells us about her house full of dolls and introduces a couple of them. Right now, we've got music from members of the band Ware Ware, who are going to perform at the Mosaic Festival in Greensboro this weekend. Here's a preview, but first I'm going to tell you, you're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. And now, Ware Ware.
If you know it, I speak it all for the bit of mount. I speak it all for the challenge. Do it for people.